Cabin Fever, Part 6. Freya's Lair. By Anne-Marie Kjeldberg. Narrated by Lily Ward. Late summer, 1969. Bella drummed her fingers on the wheel. Why even have a Mercedes when it had to wait for traffic to disperse, just like Volkswagens and Morris mascots? She hated this city. There was always so much traffic on the main road through it, and today was no exception. Up and down the annoying hills, the traffic moved. Sometimes the traffic didn't even move, and she had no time for this. She had been out on one of her last work calls, a meeting in Odense, and she had got to the cabin as quickly as possible. She needed time to think.
"What are you going there alone for?"
her old aunt had said when Bella told her about her plans the last time they spoke.
"Shouldn't you be with Ian and enjoy your happiness?"
Happiness, Bella thought, while the traffic moved a few feet in front of her. Everyone said it was the happiness of God that she, the young widow, had finally found a new man. A stream of congratulations had met her when they told people about their engagement. Everyone was so happy. Ian was really looking forward to getting married, so she could stay home and make it pleasant for the two of them, as he said. She would move into Ian's country home, and he had given her free rein to decorate it, and the stables, as she wanted. That was part of what she had to think about. She would be staying home. She sighed and rolled the window further down. The August heat between the city hills was heavy and close. She had married Joe shortly after her education as a correspondent, and after the wedding, she had become a stay-at-home wife, which most women with a husband who had the money to take care of them did. While she waited to have kids, she had taken up an interest in horse breeding. After 3 years, Joe had died in a skiing accident, and Bella's entire life had been turned upside down. She had not become a mother, but she was suddenly the sole owner of the flourishing carpet factory, which everyone advised her to sell. She sold the house and the horses instead, went to Joe's office 5 days after the funeral, and picked up from where he left off. In the 12 years with her as the director, the business had gone from flourishing to thriving, and she had enjoyed being busy. She was good at her job. Then, when the firm had expanded a few years ago, she had met Ian, who produced camping trailers. They wanted to buy the same industrial ground, and when they randomly met each other in a restaurant, they had started fighting so loudly that the waiter had to throw them out. They ended up eating together at a hot dog stand while talking about increased prosperity, new client segments, and commercial strategies. They had continued the conversation over whiskey in Bella's hotel suite until they had ended up in her bed, where they did everything but talk. Bella smiled at the thought of Ian's proposal in the spring. It had come out of the blue while they talked about the effect of the commercials in a magazine. And she had started laughing and had accepted because a marriage which started like this would be more like a continuation than a change. Still, the changes piled up as the date of the wedding moved closer. She thought that was probably what a marriage between two independent adults was like, as she changed gears and accelerated when she finally had gotten out of the heavy traffic. Her jaw felt tense and she tried to imagine the peace and quiet of the cabin. It did not help her jaws, but when she was at the North Sea, it would come. At least that was what she tried telling herself. When she arrived at Sunnyside, heaven was ominously gray. Ever more ominous was the gray Volvo van in front of the house. There were no people in or around it. Bella felt irritated while she entered the cabin. It was probably just a tourist who had gone swimming and used their private ground as a parking lot. After a long day in the late August heat, the cool air behind the cabin's thick walls was a relief. Bella put her suitcase down with a sigh of relief and went through the dining room to the living room, where she opened the doors to the porch. She stopped in her steps because the porch did not look like it usually did. The furniture had been stacked in a corner, and there was a pile of wooden...